And a good day to those of you listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, October the 21st in the year of our Lord. First of all, I want to thank those who attended the KFUO event yesterday. I was unable to do that because both of meetings and then I was preaching out of town. But Buzz, I know that you were there, and pretty good event.
It was indeed a nice event last night, yeah.
That's excellent. And we thank those who are supporting KFUO in their ministry to bring the message of Jesus Christ. And this is a week when a number of us are talking about Reformation themes, particularly issues, etc., all this week. Now, we're not only talking about Reformation themes, but it just so happens that yesterday during a meeting with Concordia Mission Society, we were at a Chinese restaurant. It's a real small one, but it has just the tastiest Chinese food that I've ever seen. In fact, I asked them about whether or not they'd be willing to be advertised on a radio program, so they're going to be getting back to me. But be that as it may, unfortunately, when pastors talk at a table in a restaurant, we tend to have the problem of our voices being heard by others. And sure enough, about three-quarters of the way through our meal, a couple that was sitting not that far from us got up, came over to the table. They were leaving, and they said, "We certainly want to appreciate what you were saying about Jesus and young people. What we were talking about is the need, because our synod is very concerned about this, that 40% of college students from the Lutheran Church, when they go to college, stop going to church. And 50% of that 40% never return to church." And so there's a real concern because of what they are hearing from college professors who obviously are not believers in Christianity, that it appears that there is some real need to reach out to them. And so we were talking about that. And this couple, when they came over to me, they said, "We appreciate what you had to say." And she says, "I'm a woman pastor, and my husband also is a pastor." And she said, "Would you be willing to come to our place and talk to our people about what you were saying?" And I said, "I'm sure I'd be willing to come, but I'm not sure you're going to like what I'm going to say." And she kind of laughed about that. And we also provided them with some books that we have on lawgospel.com. I think one was on racism, because both of them were black, and I thought that they would have a real interest in that. And then there was another book that we gave them at no cost. So I'm looking forward to her call. And if she's listening, I wrote down when our radio program is, and hopefully they're new listeners to KFUO. And I said to them, which leads right into what we're going to be doing today, normally we're going on that series of applying law and gospel and Christian witness, but on Mondays, we try and take a look at the readings for the following Sunday. And that's what we're doing right now. And it's Reformation Day. I'll be preaching up in Altamont for their Congregational Reformation Festival. A number of congregations are coming in. I'll tell you more about that as we go through the week in case you might want to be there in the evening for their Reformation Festival. But I said to them, these two folks, both who were pastors of a somewhat non-denominational congregation, I said, "We Lutherans teach there's nothing you can do, say, or think here on earth that makes a difference as to whether you go to heaven or hell." And you could see that we gained their attention. And there was some more discussion about it, and we'll just see what happens here as we kind of look forward to things. By the way, if you want to listen to me 45 minutes after this program, I'll be on Issues, Etc., doing the Sunday School lesson for this week at 3:15 on KFUO, and it's on Jonah. I think last week I said it was on Job, but it's actually on Jonah, the fellow who probably did not get swallowed by a fish, or I should say by a whale, because he got swallowed by a big fish. Doesn't say what kind of fish. Alrighty. Reformation Day actually has two gospel readings, one from Matthew 11 and the other from John 8. And then they also have a reading from Revelation for Reformation Day. And it's only two verses long, so let me read it. John, in a vision, of course, in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water.'" By the way, that's almost something that Jonah said when he was on that boat and it almost was going to be sinking. And everybody on the boat, all the sailors, were praying to their own gods. And Jonah talked about the true God who made the heaven and the earth and also the water and the land. But if you want to hear more about that, wait till 3:15. Revelation 14, believe it or not, the word angel means messenger. "I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven." And there were some who thought that that was kind of referring to Martin Luther, because he had the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, and during the time of the Reformation. Now, that is a supposition. You don't have to believe that. It could have been a real angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, because you know those angels did go to the shepherds and they preached the gospel. One angel, Gabriel, went to Mary, another went to Zacharias, and then you had the angel at the ascension. So there's no doubt. One could just say that this is a messenger, and the reason some think it's Martin Luther, because in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, there are seven messages to the seven churches in Asia Minor, and the messages are addressed to the angel, say at Laodicea or Philadelphia. And most scholars do agree that that angel is referring to the pastor, because he's the messenger giving the good news of Jesus Christ. But the lesson we're going to be looking at is Romans chapter 3. Some parts of the Bible just have the essence of Reformation teaching much better than other parts of the Bible. So if you're ever talking to somebody and you say, "I'm Lutheran," and they say, "Oh, well, I'm, you know, Jehovah's Witness," what's the difference between us? You could go to Romans chapter 3, 19 to 28, and you have a beautiful summary of the essence of Reformation teaching. Now, the entrance point for Lutherans in going into the scripture, that means that this is the theme that drives everything that we regard in the scripture, is salvation by grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ. So it's by grace, that's God's gracious attitude, and it is through faith. So faith doesn't save us, but faith becomes the vehicle that God gives to us to receive the salvation that saves us. Now, the reason I like Romans 3, 19 to 28 is there's two doctrines in the Bible, the law and the gospel, and they each have a totally different purpose. I'm going to say the gospel first because you're all going to agree with me on this one. The message of the gospel is to save people. The message of the law is to shut people up. What? Yes, there's no salvation value to the law. Because if there were, you would be preaching the law in order to get people to do something in order to be saved. So if you ever walk out of a sermon or you're listening to a radio program and you hear that, then you pretty well are sure that you're not hearing a proper Christian sermon. One of the things I really enjoy doing when I travel to these churches, and it was quite a trip yesterday, over 300 miles, and I listen to radio stations, and I try and catch other programming. Well, I heard the first sermon was just horrible. This was a sermon. You know what it was about? Why wine in the Bible was not fermented. I couldn't believe the preacher. He was trying to give a song and dance that the best of the wine was the unfermented juice of the grapes. And, of course, he believed that if you ever drank an alcoholic beverage, you would be in big trouble. And he was just twisting the Bible passages about this as though when Jesus created wine from water, it wasn't fermented wine, it was unfermented wine. Now, there's a lot of reasons that's just absolutely ridiculous, but it showed me how far someone is willing to go when morality becomes more important than the gospel. You see, they were trying to give the song and dance that any drinking of wine was a sin. The only problem is, one of the verses he himself quoted was where Jesus was speaking against getting drunk and becoming gluttonous. Well, if you use the reasoning of the pastor, therefore, since getting drunk is a sin and you should never drink wine, and gluttony is a sin, therefore you should never eat food. So I was speaking to the radio all the way along on this trip. But most sad about this sermon, it was about 35 minutes against drinking alcoholic beverages, there was nothing about the cross of Christ. There was nothing about his resurrection. There was nothing about a proper long gospel sermon. It was a lecture and a failed one on that part because he gave no evidence whatsoever. Two of the good book talks that recently took place by Pastor Zwanitzer were with Paul Meyer. And he was talking about the O'Reilly book, which, by the way, I will be dealing with in a couple of weeks. I'm still reading through it and analyzing it carefully. But one of the things Paul Meyer was saying again and again is that when you say something about the people at the time of the Bible who aren't mentioned in the Bible, you better have really good historic evidence. And of course, he did. He talked about various historians like Josephus, without whom you really can't say a lot of things that are not in the Bible, but with whom, boy, it really clears up a lot of problems. So it was just excellent. You can get that on our audio here at KFUO. And the Paul Meyer lectures with Pastor Zwanitzer about that. Just really excellent. Now, when I'm listening to this sermon on alcohol, that none of it was fermented, there wasn't one evidence that he was able to give for that. I mean, all he has to do is go to any Jewish rabbi and ask them, you use unfermented wine, don't you, when you do the Passover? And they would laugh in his face. The Passover did have six parts of water to wine, but it was fermented wine. And so it's really quite ridiculous. Once people get into household rules and they start talking about, well, you better never drink, then they change the scriptures to suit their fancies. We call this eisegesis instead of exegesis. It has nothing to do with Jesus. It's really the word gnosis from the Greek to know. False teaching puts something into the Bible rather than takes it out. Now, on the way home, I was listening to another sermon, and I thought I was listening to a Lutheran pastor for the first 3 minutes. He was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and he was really criticizing the idea that people think that Jesus was serious, that this is what you had to do in order to be saved, which is just an excellent point, because the Sermon on the Mount is really about, if you want to be saved by your works, here's the things you'd have to do. And in light that you cannot do them, guess what? Then salvation cannot be by works. And it was going really pretty good. He was a young man, mentioned he was married 26 years, until he started talking about that at the end of the service, he wanted people to come forward and give their life to Christ, make a decision. And I suddenly realized I was talking to a or listening to a Southern Baptist pastor. But I'll tell you this, 75% of that sermon was just excellent. And I was just really surprised how he could say some things that were so good and not realize he was contradicting them when he talked about what you had to do to be saved. Because he was really big on grace and the righteousness of Christ become yours. It was just really very well said until he got into, you know, what we would say there is a bondage of the will, which, of course, he doesn't believe in. So it was just kind of interesting. Listening to that. So why is Romans 3, 19 to 28? I've already talked about some of the things, but the law, verse 19, is not given to you so you know that you should not be drinking alcohol. Now, there's no doubt the law does have commandments against certain kinds of outward behavior, like murder and adultery and stealing and bearing false witness. There's no doubt about that. But what is the purpose of the law in light of the fall of mankind into sin? You always have to add that, because the purpose of the law before the fall of human beings into sin was different. It would have the same purpose it's going to have in heaven. You may ask, what is the will of God for me? And God will tell you, and you will do it spontaneously because of your love for Jesus Christ. But in a fallen world, The law has another purpose, and that purpose is something a little different. All right. What is that purpose? Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and that the world may become guilty before God. You know, you don't need another verse in the entire Bible to show the true purpose of God's law. We know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. Now, if you look up the terminology under the law, you'll find, like in Romans 6, Paul says, you are no longer under law, you're under grace. I like to say you're under the gospel, but what he means by that is people who live under the law live according to the idea that what they do will make a difference as to whether they go to heaven or hell. Isn't that interesting? In other words, they're moralists. They believe they're saved by their works. So if somebody really believes he's saved by his works, he doesn't need the works of Jesus Christ. And he doesn't need them because he's really not that bad. So what Paul is saying here, whenever you speak the law, you're to say it to those who are under the law so that every mouth may be stopped. Well, what does that mean? Well, you go to Ephesians. It says, you're saved by grace through faith, not account of works, lest anyone should boast. You know the kind of people I'm talking about. You get in a conversation with them, and they're always talking about themselves, all the good things they're accomplishing. You see, they are people who have frail egos, and because of that, they want to look good in the sight of others. Well, you try and do that with God, and you'll end up going to hell, because there's nothing you have done in your works that your mouth can speak about, that you can boast about, that will get you to heaven. So how does the law stop? Well, look at the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you have heard it said by those of old, thou shalt not murder. And all the Pharisees are standing around, yeah, we really agree with that. We've never murdered anybody. But then Jesus goes on. But I tell you, if you say something evil against someone, or if you even think something, in God's eyes, that's equal to the act of murder, because you get the same punishment, eternal damnation. Ooh. Now, Jesus spoke that law in the Sermon on the Mount to stop the boasting of the Pharisees. In fact, he says something at the beginning of that sermon that would just blow the minds of the listeners, because they looked up to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were pretty good people. They minimized the ceremonial law so even a poor person could do it. And then they went ahead and they were very generous to widows, etc. They were good guys. And what does Jesus say? If your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you don't have a ghost of a chance of getting into heaven. Wow. That's something. You don't have a ghost of a chance of getting into heaven. So, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the delusion that they're saved by their works, so that their boasting may be stopped, and they become guilty in their own minds before God. That, by the way, is exactly what happened to Jonah. We'll be talking about that at 3:15 and on. Verse 20 is really critical. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Now, as soon as you hear that, you're going to say, well, wait a minute, I thought the law tells us what we are to do in order to get to heaven. No. Listen to the next phrase. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, not the knowledge of salvation. Now, if you were able to obey the law absolutely perfectly, then you would go to heaven. But since nobody can do that, nobody goes to heaven by obedience to the law. So how do you become righteous before God? The next verses. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Okay, so we're going to hear how you get righteous, but we're not going to use the law to tell you about it. But it is, the verse continues, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now you see, unless you know theology, that's a very confusing verse. Because on the one hand, and by the way, the word law is the same Greek word. Both times. The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law. So somebody said, that doesn't make any sense. If it's apart from the law, how can it be witnessed by the law? That's because the word law has a totally different meaning. The two don't mean the same. The first law is referring to the commandments. By the law is the knowledge of sin. But the hearing of that law doesn't make you righteous. Instead, it's what you are witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, the word law there is kind of referring to the books of the Bible. But what do we talk about in the New Testament? It's made up of the gospel and the epistles. Four gospels and the epistles, the writings, the letters. In the Old Testament, there was a twofold division and a threefold division, depending. It was the law, the prophets, and the writings, or some would just say the law and the prophets. The law referred to the first five books of Moses, and the prophets referred to all the rest of the Old Testament. Now, here's what Paul is saying. You want to know how to be righteous before Almighty God? That will never come about, never, by hearing the law, that is the Ten Commandments. It is accusing you of sin. But in the books of the law and the prophets, you will hear about the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that the Old Testament witnesses to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It began in Genesis 3:15 when Jesus promised Adam and Eve that Eve would have a child through her descendants, who would be the Messiah. Now, she was mistaken thinking Cain was the Messiah, but he was not. At any rate, that came about centuries later in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Abraham believed the promise that through Isaiah the Messiah would come, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. This is what the Reformation is all about. It's all about the distinction between law and gospel, and that the law is something that has one purpose, And that's to stop your boasting before Almighty God, saying, you know, I deserve heaven. Look at what a wonderful pastor I am. Look at what a wonderful layman I am. I go to church. I teach Sunday school. I do this. I do that. God spits it out of his mouth. For salvation is through Christ. And the way it's through Christ is through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we're only about a third through the lesson here, and there's plenty more, but I'll tell you what you can be listening to is no doubt the Wonderful Issues, etc. items this coming week, which are all about the Reformation. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, October the 21st. And as I said, if you want to know more about Law and Gospel, you can go to our website, lawandgospel101.com. Lawandgospel101.com. Tomorrow, we're going to be returning to applying law and gospel in Christian witness. And we're going to be talking about people who feel their life is meaninglessness. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.